The message you're about to listen to has been offered to cause a revival in your life. Now receive the ministry of FEM Foundation.
Praise the Lord. What we sang just now was Psalm 91 and Psalm 121. For many of us that came out, the office this week will be open for counseling. We have prayed for you and we feel for the supernatural. But we also have to talk about your beliefs and your soul care. And this week on the 27th, 28th, 29th, we'll be doing the inner healing and transformation. I will encourage you. In 2012, I encountered inner healing through a man called Tony Stukfors. And my life has not been the same. And had to meet with one of my coach, the name of Martin Flack, who took me through some inner healing sessions. Many of us think that we are okay. You're not. And especially for men, I want you to amuse me. I'm not saying there's not anything wrong with you. Just amuse me and come. And come and get registered. And if you feel like coming and you don't have the funds to register, please, you can see any of the hosts so that we can meet you with you immediately after the meeting. Because really, a healthy church is not possible without inner healing. The move of God can be stopped by the response of man. And I've seen many moves of God being stopped by the response of man. Why? In the Azusa Street Revival, the revival stopped because somebody stole the mailing list. And why should somebody steal the mailing list? Inner healing. Competition. And we don't have anything to compete with one another. When revival is not carried forth by relationships, but carried forth by events, when the event goes, then the revival goes. And the container for revival is family. The first thing God said, He said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Let's make man for them to relate the way we relate as Godhead. And when we see that not going on, it starts first of all in the family. I can assure you, people will not commit suicide if they have people they can go to and talk with. And if we don't have this competition, and really it starts from the home. If a girl's heart is broken but knows the father loves her, the first thing. There's a medical doctor here who always tells, when she were talking, she was in medical school. When they finish writing exams and the result comes out and they don't see her in school, then they know maybe she has failed the course and she's at home. So when I get home, my father will hug me and say, don't mind them, they don't know anything. You know something. They didn't tell you. And that's how she came through my... Many people have committed suicide because they did not pass medical exams. Same thing. You can't reduce your child to mathematics and English. And with that competition and all what is going on media and people have Instagram days, it's not your days. And we have that. So please, I will encourage you to come to that. Time is fast spent. I have less than 20 minutes to do what I'm supposed to do. Pray for me that God helps me. And if we cannot complete it, you know, Jesus did not even finish all the sermon. And commissioned us. So I will commission you to finish the message at home. And you just continue. Praise the Lord. We have our spiritual parents called us and said there are people that have been relocated to this city and they were with us. They are with us this morning, Mr. and Mrs. Daniel and Esther Balami. Please help me appreciate them. All the way from Apostle and Reverend Mrs. Lawrence and Folake Achudume. Come on, please help me appreciate them. God bless you. Thank you for fellowship with us this morning. We're still on our series, Rediscovering Spiritual Intelligence. Many people church in Abuja, they were saying spiritual intelligence about New Age. And I tell people we are the original New Agers. People cannot carry our stuff and we will run from them. Imagine they carry our anointing oil now. They will now say, because juju men are using anointing oil, we should not use anointing oil. Or they are using water. Huh? Everything that is created by God is for our pleasure. Spiritual intelligence is what people have perverted. But the real people that are supposed to walk in spiritual intelligence are believers. What eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard, does not enter the mind of God, what Christ has destined to us. And Apostle Paul went on further. He has revealed it to us by the Spirit. That's ultimate spiritual intelligence. Where you get to a place and things are not fixed well. Joseph used it. Daniel used it. Jesus used it. And why should I not use it? I'm a spirit. So I'm not supposed to have operating only EQ and IQ because it's earthly. I'm supposed to be operating in spiritual intelligence and bring solutions from a realm that I live in. My natural realm is there. In Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, it says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. The secret things belongs to the Lord. The ones he has revealed to me, I have the character, I have the natural bent to carry it and steward it so that generations after me will carry that reality. And we have had this. It took time before you got born again, to take like years. And somebody got a revelation that the moment you say it, you are born again. The moment you confess. It was a revelation that we have. People died for it. Even the issue of prosperity that has been taken and abused. Throughout scripture is prosperity. How you define it is a different ballgame. Am I making sense? Because you can't operate with poverty. I remember listening to Dr. Tudor Bismarck. He said, I went to a place, I think in South Sudan, and for many years, only six churches, and saw the depth of poverty, and he preached a message, I hate poverty. Jesus came to preach the message to the poor. What will you say to a poor person that is going to heaven? That salvation has come. You are wealthy. And that's what. How you define it is a different ballgame. It can be perverted. In Deuteronomy, Daniel chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, then we'll read 27 to 20 to 30. It says, then Daniel went to his house and made a decision known to Ananias, Mishael, Azariah, his companions, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret. Somebody say secret. So that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. In verse 27 of the same chapter, it says, Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayer cannot declare to the king, but there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. Somebody say secrets. And he has made known to Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were this. As for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while you lay on your bed about what will come to pass after this. And he who reveals secrets, somebody say secrets, has made known to you what will be. He that revealed, the revealer of secrets. The revealer of secrets is God the Father. And he can reveal secrets of what to come. He said, Nebuchadnezzar, when you laid on your bed and your mind turned to, the Bible says in Ephesians 3:20, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly, more than we can ever ask or think. That means that be careful what you think, because your thought life is a prayer. Your thought life is a prayer. Because I always tell people, stinking thinking always attracts the demonic. So also, glorious thinking attracts the angelic. So be careful what you think. He said, when you thought about, your mind began to think about this thing, then God began to reveal to you and showed you in a dream. In verse 30, he said, but as for me, this secret has been revealed to me because I have more, has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than any living. But for our sakes, who make known the interpretation to the king, that you may know the thoughts of your heart. By myself, I cannot reveal secret. But I have, I have the Spirit of God that actually dwells in me. God so trusts me that he decides to live in me. And that is the one. Daniel did not have the Spirit of God. And so what he needed to do was he had to bombard heaven. I don't bombard heaven. Heaven is my natural habitat. And heaven is inside of me. He came and said, the kingdom of God is in you. And so constantly, I have access to secrets that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. It has not entered the understanding. And how do I have more secrets also? I have more secrets because I am connected to those who also house God themselves, my family members here. And if it does not reveal to me, but because we have the mind of Christ, I have access to it. Not only I, but everybody, including my child, including my children. Today I want to talk about secret intelligence from the secret place. Secret intelligence from the secret place. The greatest form of security is not guns. The greatest form of security is intelligence. How do we do it? A Canadian general wrote a book many years ago. He said the Rwanda genocide would have been stopped because we knew where they were stockpiling the weapons. And no, they were not giving orders to take the weapon. That's a different ball game. And he was feeling bad. Because all about intelligence. Policing, ask police, is all about intelligence. Ask the military, is all about intelligence. And for you also, it's all about intelligence. To live this life on earth, we live in a broken world. And so you need intelligence to know where to step in. You need intelligence to know where to go, things to do, what to do. Sending somebody an email, say, feel, is intelligence. Everybody feels it. If you are not careful, you would reduce yourself to another thing. But you must understand one thing, that you have access to the secret place. And in the secret place, there is secret intelligence. Intelligence that people do not know about. It will be revealed to you. You must understand that Jesus knew how to access secret intelligence. He knew how to access it. Jesus is the ultimate model of a believer. You want to know how a husband should behave? Look at Jesus. You want to know how a wife should behave? Jesus. You want to know how a student will behave? Jesus. The same thing. David said something. He said, your commands have made me wiser than my teachers. Does it mean that if I put my children on a Bible meditation plan, that all of a sudden something will begin to wire in their brain? For the memory of the righteous is blessed. That whatsoever is deposited there, they can bring it more. Somebody did that, and he has started an institute. Maybe I'll remember before the message is over. He started an institute. Why? He began to meditate on scriptures. He was a dullard in school, but meditated on scripture and became number one. Why? Because there's something about the scriptures. There's something. And so you must understand that Jesus knew. The Bible says in John chapter 6, verse 5 to 6, when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. May you begin to operate in that realm. Amen. I say, may you begin to operate in that realm. Amen. Where you will already know what to do. Where you already know what to do. There's a wisdom that Daniel did not operate in. It's the wisdom that James, the half-brother of Jesus, discovered. He said, the wisdom that comes from above is first of all pure. There are seven facets of that wisdom. Daniel did not live in that realm. He was 10 times better than his peers. And out of all the prophets that live on earth, out of all the prophets, Jesus was saying, John the Baptist was the greatest. And Jesus said, John the Baptist is the least in my kingdom. And Jesus made it further. What did he say? He said, greater things you will do than I did. So if Daniel is 10 times better, how many times will I be better? So I don't pray 10 times. I should be operating more than a million times better. Why? He said, I will do greater things than he did. And that should be the realm. So when we are talking about 1,000 miracles, it's not something. We should all be talking about 1,000,000 miracles. Why? Because that's that level, that's that realm we're supposed to be operating. And Jesus, the Bible said, knew himself what he was going to do. And after feeding them, this is the feeding of the 5,000 men beside with women and children, and 12 baskets were left. In this kingdom, you start from small and you end with abundance. If you start with plenty, you end with small. So how do we assess this secret place? Jesus defined it. And you know, what I'm going to be sharing with you was what I was trying to share with my son about some things. And as I finished, he said, that's a message. From Matthew chapter 5 to Matthew chapter 7, Jesus began to teach And Jesus began to share with people from Matthew chapter 5 to Matthew chapter 7, and he delivered principles. And these people, I want you to look at the context. The context was that these people were not believers. They had not received the Holy Ghost. And he was sharing with them this thing I want to share with you today, so that you don't feel that is strange, that Nebuchadnezzar, who was not born again, who didn't even serve God, his mind turned to the Lord, and he asked the question, and God delivered something to him. So that you understand why some people, because they are hidden, the Bible says they are pagans, that pagans pray such prayer. That means that even pagans prayer. The first one is generosity. Somebody say generosity. Generosity. And Jesus was saying it in Matthew chapter 6. How do you assess? You can't be generous and not assess secret things. You can't be generous and not assess secret things. The Bible says, examine your motives to make sure that you are not showing off what you when you do your good deeds, only to be admired by others. Otherwise, you will lose the reward of your heavenly Father. So when you give to the poor, now here he was saying, it's not about giving to this thing. Because you cannot tell people to give to God when they don't even know God. So this coach, he was talking to people who were not believers. These were people that did not know Jesus, they did not know Christ. 400 years, there was no word from God. And he now said, so don't tell me that pastor should not know what I give to God. No. That's another different ballgame. I'm talking to you how to assess. And you know what? What I'm sharing with you now is what even people who are not believers operate. But you are supposed to operate it at a level of understanding, at a level that you know what you are doing. And you assess it. He says, so when you give to the poor, don't announce it and make a show of it. Just to be seen by people like the hypocrites in the street and the marketplace. They have already received their reward. He said, but when you demonstrate generosity, he didn't say if you, he said when. The issue of generosity is not an argument. When, not if. When you demonstrate generosity, do it with poor motives and without drawing attention to yourself. Give secretly, and your Father, who sees all you do, will reward you openly. In other words, sometimes some people believe that when I give God money, I will get more money. No. The reward that he's talking about may be money, may not be money, may be some secret intelligence that you are looking for. Maybe that connection to that person that you are looking for. Maybe that email they will send to you that you just need to fill and you don't go anywhere and you receive a feedback. These are the things we are talking about. Because generosity cannot be said when I give. No. We don't play kalo-kalo with God. That when I go to them and I give this thing, I'm expecting a multiplier effect. No. God is a spirit. He does not spend naira and kobo, neither dollars and pounds. What he spends is spiritual transaction. So he will give you spiritual intelligence, secret intelligence on what to do. It may be that phone call. He say, pick up your phone and call somebody. And that's how you are going to operate. In Matthew 10:41, he say, he who receives and welcomes and accepts a prophet because he's a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. In other words, when I give a prophet to a prophet and I accept as a prophet, what I will get? What's the prophet's reward? The prophet's reward is the eyes to see, ear to hear. That's the reward. That when a prophet comes to you, when a genuine prophet comes to you and meets you and encounter a genuine prophet, what you have, you'll be activated for the prophetic. How will you be activated? You will now start hearing and seeing. No doubt, the fact that you hear God does not mean that you don't need a prophet. And the fact that you have a prophet does not mean you don't need to hear God. It's a two-way thing. A prophet is among the life coaches that God released. He gave gift to men. What is the job of a prophet? The job of a prophet is not ultimately to prophesy. That is not his primary job. His primary job is to raise up people to be prophetic. That is the primary job of a prophet. So, if I need to hear God, I need to travel all over and over again to go and hear God, then I didn't encounter a genuine prophet. But I must constantly meet a prophet to be activated more, so that my prophetic temperature will always constantly be increasing, because it's from faith to faith, from level to level. I cannot say I've been fully lifted up or fully trained to be prophetic. No. Every day I learn how to hear him in another different manner, because God cannot be stereotyped. He cannot constantly speak to you with scriptures. He can speak to you through somebody. There are some things you will go to God by yourself. There are some things he will tell you, meet somebody to get it. Am I making myself clear? So that you will not think that you are independent with yourself. We were created to be dependent. And so anytime I exhibit generosity. Jesus was saying in that same chapter, he said, do not store up your treasure in where moth and rot can assess. He said, instead, in other words, I want you to store. I want you to store, and store where moth and rot cannot get to. How do I send my money to heaven? Will I throw it up and angels will take it and fly it to heaven and store it there? No. I invest it in the thing that will last forever. What are the things that will last forever? Two things: people and the word of God. When I invest in the word of God, invest. That's why you should not buy all this cheap Bible. Invest. You can't have 500 naira Bible and think you get revelation. Jesus, salvation is free, but Jesus paid with his blood. So what you think is free, somebody has paid for. He said, Pastor, I say salvation is free. No, Bible is not free. Buy one. The Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. Generosity also. There are many people who do not think that generosity. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 26, he put generosity in a way where he says, if you hoard bread, people will curse you. But if you sell it, people will bless you. That means that there are businesses inside many of us here. There are ideas. There are services you are supposed to render that if you do not render it, God put it as a form of generosity. So when you get to office and do sloppy job, you are not a generous person. You cannot be released to giving secret intelligence. You can't go to office late and write early. When you are a believer, secret intelligence will not be given because you are not a generous person. I hope I didn't make enemies. Number two, prayer. Somebody say prayer. 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 Somebody say prayer. I know this one is archaic most times because they feel that it's old school. We are the new gen. Must I pray this one? Must I do the, listen? There are some you listen, you are not exempted from it. In Psalm 134, the last verse, it said there is blessing attached and given to those that pray at night. Two things I don't like doing. Fasting and all night. But I must do it. It's good for my soul. Yeah. I met a young boy. I think he's about three. He was still feeding on cereal and milk. And they said, no. If he continues like this, when he grows up, he will be malnourished. So for 2 days or 3 days in a week, the father and the boy will go to a school where they will teach him how to eat for 8 hours. It's a therapy. Yeah. He likes candies and chocolate and everything. How to eat 8 hours. He can put the food on his hair and everything, but they are trying to activate him. Listen, food is good for your body just as prayer and worship is good for your spirit. Or you'll be malnourished. So there's nothing telling you. He said, whenever you pray, what they say? Matthew 6:5-6. Whenever. It's not if wherever. Whenever. It's when. When. There's no if here. Whenever you pray, be sincere and not be like the pretenders who love the attention they receive while praying before others in the meetings and on the street corner. Believe me, they already received in full their reward. I'm going to talk about that one too because it's not talking to believers. It's talking a general system. And I will get to that because some people say, you hear it. Must I come to prayer meeting? I'm telling you something. In verse 6, it says, but whenever you pray, go into your innermost chamber and be alone with God, with Father God, praying to him in secret. And your Father who sees all you do will reward you openly. And how does this context now fit into our system? In Acts chapter 1, verse 12 to 14, it said, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, the Zealot, Judas, the son of James. And these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. With the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Mary was still there praying. This whole thing that we are talking about Christianity started by a 10-day prayer meeting. There is a blessing attached to corporate prayer. there's also blessing attached to individual prayer. It's neither this nor this. It's a two-leg. You can you walk effectively with one leg? You will hop, and you can't hop to your destiny. You need the two. I need a personal prayer life where I will go into my chambers and call upon God, because there are some things I can't share with you in my prayer. It will disturb the prayer and corporate praying meeting. But there are some things we must come together as we came for the online to pray. Very essential. These are not two things. I will have my secret time with him. I will have my own time with other believers to pray. Because there is something, there's an anointing that comes upon us as we gather to pray. There is something. Somebody will come with a psalm. Someone will come with a song. Someone will come with a spiritual song. And you know what? As we begin to do that together, secrets are delivered to us in the time of prayer. Prayer is not something that we run from. The women were fasted for 21 days. I joined. Because you know why? It's time for prayer. And I believe that in this season, most time, because of, I began to look at it 6 years ago, we started the Open Heavens prayer. Every day. Now we are doing 6 hours every weekday, continuously. Why? Because you see, constantly, when any apostolic movement must have at its base prayer. As a believer that will go to the marketplace, I tell people who go to the marketplace, you should pray more than me. You see more devils than I do. People come there. Me, I stay with people who are, they are lovers of God. For you, as somebody say good morning from the gate of your office to your office itself, people come with power. They come with their gods. For me, even if some people come here, say one or two, you don't know who clean your office or they prophesy. You should be an atmosphere shifter constantly. And so you should be praying even more. You should do your personal all-night prayer and do that. Will you sleep? Yes, you will sleep. But you see, people are not sleeping. For why men slept. But even if you sleep, understand that you are a spirit man. The second one I said, somebody say prayer. Prayer. You say prayer. Prayer. Your prayer has to also do with your thought. What are you thinking? If you think stinking thought, you can't pray and worry. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, he said, do not worry. He also said, as you are praying, forgive. You can't be keeping malice like the devil. Even the devil does not keep malice with his enemies. Whether you like it or not, every human being is an enemy to the devil. How he uses them is for his glory. So even if you backslide from God now and you say you want to join him, he won't keep malice with you. He will welcome you with open hands because you are powerful. Forgive. And you need to forgive from your heart. Or else it blocks the channels of your spirit. It blocks it. And it's not the enemy resisting you. You are the one resisting yourself. Through unforgiveness. And when unforgiveness first starts too much, bitterness, then enters resentment. Before you know it, ulcer has started. The first person that bitterness kills is the person that hosts it. You can't be a host to a virus and not be sick. Although you will transmit it all, but you'll be the one. Prayer. The next one is fasting. Somebody say fasting. I know you don't like this one. Me, I don't like it too. But it's good for my spirit. As well when you have food. One day my son asked me, say, why are we fasting? Why are we fasting? There's food everywhere. Why are we fasting? Listen, one of the things that attracts you is food. Once you see presentation of food. That's why when some people want to fast, they move away from their family. So that you will not begin to be pray. You will not start praying. Then one small scent coming from one place. You just tell your wife, can I your test more from that place? That's why they move somewhere. But you must also learn how to discipline yourself. when you fast. The Bible says in Matthew 6, 16 to 18, say when you fast. When you it didn't say if you fast. When you fast, don't look like those who pretend to be spiritual. They want everybody to know they are fasting. Say, don't you know I'm fasting? I remember my wife telling me every time so a woman around her would be fasting those days when she was growing up. The husband would just offend her and say, see now, you have spoiled my fasting. and she would go and eat. They said they want everyone to know they are fasting, so they appear in public looking miserable, gloomy, and disheveled. Believe me, they have already received their reward in full. When you fast, don't let it be obvious, but instead, wash your face, groom yourself, realize that your Father in the secret place is the one who is watching all that you do in the secret, and will continue to reward you openly. Some people take it that on the day they were born, the day, not the date, the day of the week they were born. I was born on the fourth day of the week, which is what you call Wednesday. Some people take it that day to fast. Because for Job to want to kill himself, he went to where he was conceived. The day I was born is cursed. And the Bible says, the Lord light up your candle. Don't blow your candle out when you are doing birthday. Let me come this way. The Lord light up your light. The day you were put. So people don't celebrate their birthday. I celebrate mine. Because the day I was conceived and the day I was born, they are blessed. Ezekiel wanted to die. Jeremiah wanted to die. He caused the day of his birth. So some people take it that way to fast on that day and seek God. What do you have for me? You must take it as a point of duty that once in a week. And it has even been said that fasting detoxifies you. Let me tell you, the best years of your life is not 40. The best years are still 50, late 50s, 60s. When young boys say they want to hammer 30, I'll be looking at them. 30. It's not the best years of your life. You are still learning. Thirty-five, thirty-nine, forty. You are still learning. The problem is that the world has taught you wrongly because at 65, they retire you. Then you now think that that's the retirement age for God. No. Moses started his ministry at 80. When you fast. In Matthew 17, 19 to 21, they were asking Jesus, why does not the disciple not fast? He said, then the disciple came to Jesus and asked privately, why could we not drive it out? Okay. Why could we not drive it out? This is another story. And they were saying to Jesus, when there was a young boy with epilepsy brought by the father, why could you not cast it out? And look at what Jesus said. He said to them, because of the littleness of your faith. Another translation says, because of your unbelief. That it is your lack of family relying trust. For truly I say to you, if you have faith, and that is living like a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to yonder place, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Look at what he said, but this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Which kind? The kind of unbelief. Some people say the kind of demons. That's not the issue now. What kind? Let me tell you, there are some things in your life that will not move except you fast. There are some stubborn unbelief you have. You have believed it as truth, but they are lies. They can't live until the body is weakened and the spirit man is alive. What does fasting do? Fasting disconnects you from the world. He said, oh, faithless and perverse generation. Faithless is when you are disconnected with God. Perverse, when you are disconnected from God, which makes you faithless. Perverse is when you are too connected to the world. You are too earthly. Imagine you want to start praying, then you see a red light on your phone. You press. It takes you to your Facebook. From Facebook, you enter a blog. From blog, you enter another story. But 1 hour. You say, this one will give me spiritual intelligence. No. It's distraction. Distraction. Many of us are so much with social media. I don't have a problem with media. I'm not saying it's bad. We have also used it. Media is a neutral thing. What you put inside is a medium. It's called medium. That's why it's called media. Medium. It can carry bad thing. It can carry good thing. But it should not dictate your life. You can't wake up in the morning and begin. That's the first thing. The first part is to. Sometimes some of you, it's not food. Food is not your problem, and that you are like that boy that they are teaching how to eat. Some of you is going out. You can't stay in one place for 24 hours. It's not possible. Your body will just be biting you. Then you will ask yourself, am I sick? Why am I at home? You must stroll out. Say, I'm coming. Let me just stroll to the junction. From the junction, before they ask you, say, where are you? Say, Ring Road. Say, but you didn't drive. Say, that's why I see. I just saw somebody. Fasting. In Matthew 9:15, Jesus replied, and Jesus replied them, can the wedding guests mourn while the bridegroom is still with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. Jesus is no longer with us. We need to fast. You want to get secret intelligence, generosity, prayer, and fasting. We'll release it to you faster. You say, how do I pray? Pray. Open your mouth. Something will come out. I'm telling you. Even when they teach you how to pray and you don't pray, you won't pray. I always tell people, pray so that you won't pray. People use prayer in emergency. Lord, Lord, answer. The best time to pray is when you have food in your house. When you pray and there's no pressure. So that when there's pressure, you know how to assess him. When the plane wants to crash, no amount of how you raise it up. Boah. The Titanic did not bend on time. That's why it hit the iceberg. Prayer is the one that will make you navigate. Fasting will also make you. Now your spirit mind is now sharp. Then you now know where to hit. That's what fasting does for you. Generosity. And you know the funniest thing is that Jesus put it in order. The first one is generosity. Before prayer and fasting. He said, Pastor, I don't have anything to give. Lie. There's nobody that doesn't have anything to give. Nobody. Say, Pastor, they're always disturbing me. My children, they enter the bedroom at night. Say, my husband said that by 12 he has to meet with me. Start by 11. What's your best time? If you don't plan it, you can't do it by default. We need secret intelligence. The world is getting more evil. People don't like you. I'm not trying to scare you, but people have given their mind to things. They now have a reprobate mind. People's decision will affect you. Somebody that is fully drunk, not driving. You that is driving on your own, you didn't break anything. He jams you. You need secret intelligence. People will take a company and run it down, and there are people's livelihood coming from that company. You need intelligence. You need secret intelligence for your wife, for you to know what to say to her every time. Same thing with your husband. And you see, he said it from the firm, those that are led by the Spirit are the children of God. Rise up on your feet. I always like to give an opportunity for people to meet Jesus, the revealer of secret, the revealer of secret. There are many people, and Jesus preached this sermon to people who are not born again, and he said, if you do this, you'll be revealed. Let me tell you, it is not only Christianity that fasts, though. I hope you know that. Huh? People doing juju fast. Yeah. They also pray. And you know what? They tell them to give. That's why they pour Fanta in the river. Throw away plenty of things. Cook food and give people meat to eat. So these three things I'm talking to you is a secret that even others are using. It's only when we enter here now we'll not be wise. Say, why are they telling me to give? Huh? Why are they telling me to give? Must I give? Listen, God will provide for you even if you not give, but you will not move further without generosity. Because he's a good, good father. You must pray. If you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, I want to give this invitation. All I need you to do is to lift up your right hand. And those that we love and we know and we trust will come and meet you. Wherever you are, just lift up your right hand. And if you are also watching us by way of the World Wide Web, you can also send us a mail that you want to meet Jesus. Let us pray. I want you to hold your brothers and your brother and your sister by your left and your right. And just this one prayer. I like praying this prayer a lot. This morning I even prayed it. Lord, help me. Lift up your voice. I want somebody. Pray for the person by your right and your left. Let the person hear your voice. Help my sister. Help my brother. Come on, lift up your voice. 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 Lift up your voice.
Thank you for listening to this message. For other life transforming messages, please call 0805-1028-787 or 0706-969-6499. Or visit our website at www.femfoundationng.org.